Viajando por el Mundo. And it's a book where I'll take you on a trip to 30 different cities and we'll discover fascinating things and improve our English along the way.
Aprende inglés viajando por el mundo. El nuevo libro de Alberto Alonso.
All aboard! English on the go.
Aprende inglés viajando por el mundo. El nuevo libro de Alberto Alonso. Ya a la venta en vaughantienda.com, en delegaciones o en nuestra tienda en grupovaughan.com.
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro, adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
Este año, antes de irte de vacaciones, hazte un Impact de Vaughan. Un curso intensivo de verdad que te permite mejorar tu inglés en tan solo una semana. Apúntate ahora en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Aprende, diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Western Civilization, from Mesopotamia to Silicon Valley. On this program, I'm going to begin by speaking about Simón Bolívar, the great liberator. Simón Bolívar, born in Caracas, as a Spanish citizen. At that time, the captaincy general of Venezuela was part of the viceroyalty of New Granada. That's what that area was called. The viceroy, virrey, was in charge, and virreinado, I think, is viceroyalty in English. In any case, Bolívar himself came from a rich family with lots of property, with slaves, with plantations, with everything you could possibly dream of having. But his father died before he even knew. He had no memory of his father, and his mother died when he was only 9 years old. And this, of course, left him with an enormous amount of money at a very early age. Among his teachers were Andrés Bello, one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent, one of the most famous names in Spanish letters. His grammar, all of his research into the Spanish language. He is one of the principal figures, one of the stars of the Spanish language, certainly in America. And this man was, Bolívar's teacher, believe it or not. He was, a man of the Enlightenment. Bolívar was raised fluent in French and started reading about the French Enlightenment, again, at a very early age. And everything, the more he read, the more he liked it. And so he was going to be one of those people who read Voltaire, or who read Rousseau before breakfast. And this had a profound influence on his life. Again, he saw things very, very clearly. He understood that that things needed to change. The Enlightenment values, that the old regime was ending and something new was beginning. Now, at the same time, of course, he was very much a product of the world that he was living in. These aristocratic pursuits. He loved these activities of the aristocrats, of gaming and hunting and riding and all sorts of aristocratic pursuits. And he was extremely competitive in all kinds of things, in every single way. He did not want to lose. And this, of course, again, it characterized the aristocratic class there. But Bolivar was a prime example of that kind of lifestyle. Now, his skin was slightly darker than the skin of the Spanish ruling class there, and also of the criollos. Remember that this was a mixed race society, but it was extremely, extremely racist, and everybody was classified according to race. According to your race, for example, your options, who you could marry, whether you studied at the university, basically what happened to you in life. All of this was written in your race. And it wasn't so much whether you could prove that you had this limpieza de sangre, this blood, this clean blood. It wasn't so much whether you could prove it as whether other people would accept that. Other people would believe it. And because Bolivar was slightly dark, they used to call him all kinds of insulting names. And Thambo, for example. Things like that. He had that stigma most of his life. In fact, at a later moment, I'm going to be speaking about this. Well, his experience in Haiti, remember that I spoke about Haiti. I spoke about Haiti on Monday's program, on my last program, and Bolivar's experience in Haiti is going to change everything about his conception of race and racial equality. But as a young man, again, he had to accept this stigma. Now, to finish his education, while he was still, 19 years old, he goes to Madrid. And in Madrid, he meets the woman of his life, because evidently his life was filled with women. He had many, many, but he married only one of them. And this marriage was entirely tragic, because when he brought his bride back to Venezuela, she died in just a question of weeks. His wife was an aristocrat. Again, 19 years old, and again, foppish, un petit maître, obsessive about his appearance. Actually, he was obsessive about his appearance during his entire life. They said that he was capable of using a bottle of perfume per day. That's the kind of I don't know, that grooming, aciclamiento, that's the kind of grooming that we're talking about here. He was exaggeratedly concerned with his appearance And evidently, people regarded him as very good looking and dynamic and charismatic. And so, yes, he got María Teresa Rodríguez del Toro y Alaisa, the niece of the Marqués de Toro, one of the big ones. An aristocrat. And this brings us to the first what if. What if she had lived? What if he had had a family like other families? What if she had moderated his political views, or simply persuaded him not to actually rebel against Spain? What if? What if she had lived? We will never know. She died from yellow fever, and again, Bolívar never married after that. He went to France, and there Napoleon Bonaparte was gaining power, gaining prominence. He still was not the first consul, but he was big. Everybody knew he was the coming thing. And evidently Bolívar was sort of connected to his circle for a while. Fluent in French, as I say. He also spoke English, and in 1806, he went to the United States, the recently independent United States. He visited many of the different former colonies there, in the North and in the South. At this time, he had become convinced that South America needed to be liberated from Spain, just the way the United States had become independent from Great Britain. And his idea of liberating the United States, well, he tried to convince people to join him. He tried to convince the United States to help him in this task. But you have to remember that the United States, in great part, they owed their independence to the Spanish intervention. The Spanish believed that the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And if the British are enemies, then the Americans are friends. And so, yes, they were instrumental in helping the United States achieve independence. And so the United States, there was a neutrality act. The United States was not going to go against Spanish interests at this time. He was impressed by the United States, but in a very sort of contradictory way. He loved the idea of a nation born of an idea that it didn't have this kind of this early history that that the European countries all did, and no previous oppression, no, it was born, it was a common project. Project born of rationalism. And with the idea of freedom, individual freedom. He loved that. He said that the United States was the great adventure of mankind. On the other hand, he said that it is incredible that the model of North America should continue and continue prosperously rather than become involved with the first obstacle or danger that comes its way. The nation is a rare model of political virtues and moral examples. And it is nourished on freedom, but although this nation is unique in the history of mankind and is prodigious, this system is so weak and so complicated. The fact that the people have governed it through difficult and delicate situations is just amazing. That is how he referred to the United States. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Because the system was very weak and very complicated. And the fact that the United States survived at all, first during the war, and secondly after the war, the fact that the existence of the United States is due primarily to good luck. He was absolutely right. In any case, the fact is that he will be the future liberator of Central and South America, and he is not going to have that same kind of luck. There will be many instances in his life where he is unlucky. Now, in 1810, here he is, 27 years old, and all of a sudden, Napoleon's troops have invaded Spain. The king of Spain is in Valenciennes with prostitutes and all kinds of things. Napoleon is distracting him. So the Fernando VII is out of the way. Pepe Botella is on the throne, and Venezuela has decided that perhaps they can actually go it alone. So here he is, age 27. He has 20 more years of life. And he is sent to London to, again, try to get a British aid for his liberation plans. And there, he is in contact with Francisco de Miranda. Francisco de Miranda, whom I will be talking about in just a minute. Francisco de Miranda, at this point, is 60 years old. And he has seen and done it all. You got a 27-year-old trying to convince a 60-year-old to come home to Venezuela and engage in this revolution together. He was successful. Francisco de Miranda went back to Caracas. And I'll be talking about Francisco de Miranda in just a minute.
Y no dejes de participar a través de nuestra aplicación. Descárgatela. Hello, good morning. A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas. Más radio, más Vaughan, mucho más. Richard Vaughan Live.
Hola, guapa. ¿Puedo invitarte a algo?
Sí, claro. Un margarita y otro para Julia.
¿Julia?
Sí, Julia, mi profesora Vaughan. Le gusta con mucha hierbabuena.
Este año, llévate de vacaciones a tus profesores Vaughan preferidos. Aprovecha el verano para mejorar tu nivel de inglés con el método online Vaughan. Flexible, adaptado a tus horarios, con los contenidos que nos han hecho famosos y, por supuesto, con nuestros profesores únicos. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com. Do you Vaughan?
¿Será Nueva York o tal vez Sevilla? A lo mejor es Reykjavik. Sigue las pistas que Alberto te irá diciendo a lo largo del programa y averigua de qué ciudad se trata. Y si eres de los que no puedes parar, continúa viajando con English on the Go, el nuevo libro de Alberto Alonso. A la venta en tiendas Vaughan, delegaciones o en la sección de tienda en grupovaughan.com.
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro, adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com. Do you Vaughan?
Welcome back. I'm going to speak about Francisco de Miranda, born in Caracas, born in 1750. So the man was already 33 years old when Bolivar was born. So, yeah, let's turn back the clock a little. Born in 1750. Now, just like Bolivar, he came from an aristocratic family. His father was from Orotava in Tenerife. His father was from the Canary Islands. I read in, I don't want to tell you, but I get a lot of contradictory information, a lot. And so I read somewhere that Francisco de Miranda was not born in Caracas, that he was born himself on the Canary Islands. And in the questions that I put out, every time I do one of these programs, there is a series of questions that are published in Twitter. I have my Twitter account. It's I'm Guy Williams 1. That's it. Hashtag I'm Guy Williams 1. And it's also republished in the Vaughan tweets and so forth. And there are four questions for every program. And question number four this time is a dispute. There were many disputes between Miranda and Bolivar. But yes, Bolivar was in favor of prohibiting people who had been born in Spain from forming part of this, of his new political entity, his newly liberated country, the independent country, the future Venezuela. Well, Miranda, obviously, Miranda was very much opposed to that. And I read somewhere that it was because Miranda himself had been born in Orotava in the Canary Islands. Well, that isn't true. I used a source which was untrustworthy. And as a result, I asked a question that is untrustworthy. I apologize. In any case, anybody else who gets the other questions right, well, you can please let me know. All right. His father, being from the Canary Islands, believe it or not, had that stigma. That stigma. What if one of his ancestors was Guanche? What if one of his ancestors was North African or even sub-Saharan African? Remember that at this time, 33%, one-third of the population of the island of Tenerife were slaves. And these are indigenous peoples, the Guanches, and people imported from Africa to work on the plantations there. And so it is not inconceivable, but in this case it was very wrong. And so the father of Francisco de Miranda had to prove again and again and again that his blood was pure. And because of merit, he was put in charge of the local militia there in Venezuela, and this local militia was called the Company of the White Canary Islanders, Los Canarios Blancos. And everybody looked at him and said, ¿Cómo que blanco? And then he had to prove that, he wrote to, Carlos III. He got a letter of patent. He got, the limpieza de sangre. He did years of genealogical research, which could prove to anyone that, he had absolutely no racial stigma, that his blood was 100% white, didn't convince anyone. And so they boycotted his militia. And they formed alternative militias. And the whole thing just poisoned the atmosphere. And finally, his father had to step down. An honorary military discharge because the local elite couldn't stand him. This is the kind of world that the colonials were living in. As I say, racism everywhere. And so, and as I say, this is something that, Francisco de Miranda and Simón Bolívar had in common, this stigma. So, Francisco is fed up and moves to Madrid. He becomes part of the Spanish army. His higher education, he specialized in foreign languages and evidently became really, really proficient in foreign languages. We'll see this in a minute. But, he studied foreign languages in Madrid. And, spent his free time doing genealogical research to help out his father. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And even if they see it in black and white, they're not going to believe it because they've already judged him. This is the way prejudice works. It isn't what's true or not. It's the perception that counts, or how many enemies you have. In any case, he served in the Spanish army, first in Morocco, and they sent him to Melilla. And at that time, there were hostilities with Morocco, and so he saw combat. Now, here he was in Melilla, theoretically part of Spain, but... Well, not theoretically and practically part of Spain, but even today, the people in Melilla, they talk about aquí y España, or you're in Melilla and the people say, mira, se puede ver España, right? Unconsciously, that indicates that they don't think they're in Spain. So here he was in this Spanish enclave in North Africa. And he began to compare it with Spain and Spain's presence in Venezuela. He began to put the two together and to see that it wasn't a good thing. All right, I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the second part of the program.
Con Let's Cook te va a quedar un inglés rico, rico. Ya tienes Let's Cook en cualquiera de nuestras tiendas Vaughan o en vaughantienda.com. Consíguelo antes de que se enfríe.
really, 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 really,
useful English words. El nuevo libro de Richard Brown.
Ya en librerías.
I'm so excited to share this news with you. I've got a new book. It's called English on the Go. Aprende Inglés Viajando por el Mundo. And it's a book where I'll take you on a trip to 30 different cities and we'll discover fascinating things and improve our English along the way.
Aprende Inglés Viajando por el Mundo. El nuevo libro de Alberto Alonso.
All aboard! English on the Go.
Aprende Inglés Viajando por el Mundo. El nuevo libro de Alberto Alonso. Ya a la venta en baugantienda.com, en delegaciones o en nuestra tienda en grupobaugan.com.
Con el curso online de Baugan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro, adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Baugan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com. Do you Baugan?
Este año, antes de irte de vacaciones, hazte un Impact de Baugan. Un curso intensivo de verdad que te permite mejorar tu inglés en tan solo una semana. Apúntate ahora en el 91-133-5833 o en grupobaugan.com.
¿Do you Baugan?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Western Civilization, from Mesopotamia to Silicon Valley. I'm your host. My name is Guy Williams, and on the first part of the program, I began by speaking about the liberator, Simón Bolívar, and the early years. And finally, when he is 27 years old, he meets a 60-year-old man named Francisco de Miranda. I began to speak about Miranda's life. Now I'm going to continue to speak about Miranda, but first, I want to tell you about something that I recently heard about. A listener brought this to my attention. And it sounds wonderful. I haven't been yet. But because last year was the fourth centenary of the death of Cervantes and of Shakespeare, and we kind of forgot about it. Very, very little was done last year, but we still have the time to rectify and do things right. In any case, Castilla-La Mancha and the bishopric, the obispado of Sigüenza and Guadalajara have gotten together in Sigüenza, in the cathedral there, the really wonderful cathedral, which, if you can see the facade destroyed in the Civil War, but very, very beautiful in spite of the destruction. It's one of those things that, one of those paradoxes that, it almost looks better with the scars, right? Cicatrices of the Civil War. In any case, there, they are having a macro exhibition of the time of Cervantes and of Shakespeare. It's called A Tempora. You have the flag that was stolen away from Sir Francis Drake when he was attacking Spain in 1589. That was taken from him and donated to the cathedral. Okay, and this is just one of many, many things they are exhibiting. It sounds a little like Las Edades del Hombre, but done in Castilla-La Mancha. In any case, all kinds of exhibits from Sigüenza itself, but also from Atienza, from Pastrana. Remember that the Princess of Éboli was in Pastrana. It was in Pastrana where the Princess of Éboli had the big fight with Santa Teresa, right? The Princess of Éboli wanted Santa Teresa's nuns to attend her on their knees. And Santa Teresa made the nuns quit and leave the Princess of Éboli all to herself. And the Princess of Éboli was furious. Santa Teresa gave her a manuscript of probably what was later going to be the Las Casas, one of her writings, and the Princess of Éboli went directly to the Inquisition and gave them that heretical document and said, "Let's see if we can put this woman away." That was what happened. In any case, in Pastrana, you have some of the most beautiful tapestry you can possibly imagine. And, they have a museum of tapestry there. And perhaps from that tapestry, you've got something now in Sigüenza. You've got, participation from other places. Tomelloso. You know that Tomelloso next to Brihuega, Tomelloso is not Tomelloso, which is much better known and is in La Mancha itself. No, this is Tomelloso. And what I didn't know is that both places are called because of a tomillo. I didn't know that. Tomelloso from tomillo, from thyme, from the herb. And things that have been borrowed from Tendilla, you know, Tendilla in Guadalajara, Enrique III de Trastámara, right? Enrique III took Tendilla and gave it to the Diego Hurtado de Mendoza, right? The Almirante Mayor. And it's been the area of the Mendoza family, right? The great Mendoza family, viceroys and so forth. His son was the Marqués de Santillana, and all of that in Tendilla, and some of the things from Tendilla, again, in the Cathedral of Sigüenza, and things from the Viso del Marqués. If you've never been to the Viso del Marqués, it's right next to the Sierra Morena. It's not too far from Despeñaperros. And there, in the most unlikely place you can possibly imagine, is the Palacio del Marqués de Santa Cruz. Right? It's Álvaro Bazán, who never lost a battle. Álvaro de Bazán, who... this is another historical what if. What if Bazán had lived? If he had lived, he would have commanded the Invincible Armada. If he had commanded the Invincible Armada, maybe they had a chance. Maybe they would have... Maybe they would have succeeded the invasion. He would not have committed stupid mistakes in the Low Countries, like trying to get all of those troops on board in areas donde no hay anclaje, right? Where they really didn't, they were sitting ducks for the English in any case, all of that, and the Archivo General de la Marina, paradoxically, it's in Ciudad Real, it's in Viso del Marqués, which is a city that I strongly recommend you to visit. Now, so there are about 20 different objects of the thousands of objects on display, 20 different objects that have never been part of an exhibition before. They've never been publicly shown before. And this sounds really exciting. And if I possibly can, because I, well, it's late in the summer. I'm going on vacation soon. But if I possibly can, I will make it to Sigüenza and to this exhibition. And I would like to thank the listener who brought this to my attention. All right, back to Miranda. Now, people were complaining about Miranda in Morocco. You remember, here he was in Melilla, and he was starting to think that the Spanish presence in North Africa was a little bit like the Spanish presence in Venezuela. In any case, they complained about him. They complained that he spent all his time reading. They complained that with him, the accounts didn't add up, right? No cuadraba. No, las cuentas no cuadraban. And when he wanted to discipline soldiers under his command, he was extreme. It constituted abuse of authority. Well, they sent him to America at that point. The Captain General of Louisiana, Bernardo de Galvez, a great hero in the United States. Remember, Galveston, Texas is named after Galvez. There's a little statue of Galvez in the town square in the main square in New Orleans. And Galvez was fundamental, absolutely fundamental in helping the American Revolution. The British knew it. The British were going to attack New Orleans. And it was necessary to send Spanish troops to Baton Rouge and to Natchez in order to free up the Mississippi River, because that was going to be the supply channel to the colonies in open rebellion. That was the way to to run the blockade. And, He was also there at, in Florida as well, in Pensacola. And he went on a mission, a secret mission to Jamaica. There, he got into trouble again. The way to get provisions to the Spaniards and to rescue about 900 prisoners, and the way to work with the British there, he found a British merchant who was willing to help the Spanish in exchange for the ability to send some of his ships to Spain, where he could sell his merchandise in Spain. And Miranda made that deal. Said he could. And then when Miranda came back, he was charged. He was put under arrest for being a spy and for being un contrabandista, a smuggler. So, yeah. They were going to send him to trial, but when they met, the accusation wasn't well written, and they kind of dismissed the charges. But then he captured the Bahamas. Remember the Bahamas? That was originally Islas de Bajamar. And from Bajamar in Spanish, we get Bahama in English. So the Bahama Islands, he liberated the Bahama Islands, went back and told Bernardo de Galvez, and Bernardo de Galvez was furious because he said he had exceeded his authority. And yes, Miranda was arrested. But this sense of injustice persisted. However, they needed Miranda. Miranda knew, well, he knew English. Miranda knew he knew everything about Jamaica. He'd been to Jamaica. He knew the defenses. At this time, the Spanish and the French were thinking about invading Jamaica, and that would have benefited both of them. Remember that Jamaica was always like a knife in the heart of the Spanish presence in the Caribbean. And this would have eliminated Jamaica once and for all. However, the Britain and France made peace at this point. And so it was kind of out of the question. And the fact that the whole Jamaican invasion was called off, all of a sudden, Miranda was not nearly as valuable an asset as he had been. All of a sudden, he was transformed into persona non grata. And so the charges against him were coming back. And he decided that it would be the discreet thing for him to go visit the United States, go absent without leave, AWOL. So he just left. He went to the United States, and he started writing about it, and writing not theory, not ideas. No. He started writing about their defenses. He started writing about what he saw, the way it worked, the very practical things. He met George Washington. He met Alexander Hamilton. He met Samuel Adams and Thomas Jefferson. He became very important at that point. And from there, he went to England. He had friends in England. The Spanish began to treat him as a spy. The embassy in London was following him and recording his conversations. And he needed the embassy. He needed a letter of recommendation to the Spanish ambassador. What he wanted to do was to go to Prussia, because Prussia, they had renovated their military system. They were becoming increasingly powerful, and they were sort of a result under Frederick the Great, under a result of the Enlightenment, right? La Ilustración. It was an aristocratic and military enlightenment, but it was worth seeing. And so he wanted to go to Prussia. The Spanish conspired to have him arrested as soon as he got to Calais. When he crossed over the English Channel and arrived in Calais, they were waiting to arrest him. But Miranda didn't go to Calais. He crossed over into the Netherlands and avoided the trap. And he saw Belgium. He saw Germany, Prussia, Austria, Hungary, Poland, Greece, Italy, Turkey. he was in Constantinople. He went to the court of Catherine the Great and loved Russia and became Russian. He had a wife and children in Russia. He had, he was more Russian than the Russians. This is the kind of person he was. When the Spaniards at every point, they were trying to, at this point, kidnap him, right? Abducirle, sequestrarle, bring him back to Spain for trial. But they couldn't. They couldn't. When he went back to London, he got papers saying that he was part of the Russian diplomatic mission to London, in London, to Great Britain. And, his Russian children, by the way, later emigrated, some of them to the United States, some of them to Argentina. And big events were happening at this time. This was the moment of the French Revolution, and Miranda had to go and had to participate. This was his vocation. This was his calling. This was what he wanted to do all his life. All right, I'll talk about that after the break.
Lecciones, noticias, entrevistas, curiosidades, promociones y todas las novedades de Grupo Vaughan. Síguenos en Twitter, @Vaughan_radio o @Grupo Vaughan y en facebook.com/Grupo Vaughan. Conéctate, síguenos. Hemos escuchado el movimiento número 12 de John Tunes. Esta tarde tendrá lugar en el Auditorio Nacional una sinfonía del compositor Richard Higgins.
No te líes, lo mejorcito para aprender inglés lo tienes en Vaughan. Tenemos una amplia variedad de cursos para todos los niveles, todos los horarios, todas las edades y todos los bolsillos. 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com.
¡Qué calor y qué aburrimiento! Llevo todo el día tirado en el sofá. Se me está cayendo la casa encima.
¿Vas a dejar pasar el verano otra vez sin hacer nada con tu inglés? Vente a Vaughan. Con nuestros Summer Impacts refrescarás tu inglés con los mejores profesores. Este verano, hazte un Summer Impacts, un curso intensivo con clases concentradísimas y muy, muy refrescantes. Summer Impacts. Más información en grupovaughan.com.
Menos mal que ha llegado, está fatal.
Tendremos que sacárselo.
You Howard, my Charlie name is Charlie, are you where from?
¡Sal de ahí! ¡Venga, sal!
¡Sácaselo, por favor!
¡Manifiéstate!
Hi, how are you? My name is Charlie, where are you from?
Con el curso online de Vaughan sacarás el inglés que llevas dentro, adaptado a tus horarios, flexible y con todos los contenidos del método Vaughan. Y con nuestros profesores siempre disponibles. Contrátalo ahora con toda comodidad. Entra en aprendeinglestv.com.
Do you Vaughan?
Welcome back. So, Francisco de Miranda, 41 years old at this point. Remember that back in Caracas, Simón Bolívar is 8 years old. However, Miranda is now participating in the French Revolution. I wish that Bolívar had been able to do the same, because it convinced Miranda of a number of things. He went there with the best of intentions and was immediately appreciated. Evidently, yes, his French was fluent, and he had enough military experience to be able to convince everyone that he should be part of. He was the field marshal, right? Maréchal de camp. A friend of the Gironde, and obviously an enemy of the whatchamacallit, the Marat, right? The Jacobin. And so the, well, he was put in charge of the Army of the North. And here he was in Antwerp, right? Amberes. He was in Amberes. And he was also in Maastricht, which in Spanish is supposed to be Maastrique. You're supposed to say Maastrique in Spanish, but nobody does. Everybody says Maastricht. In any case, he didn't take Maastricht. And this failure offended people. And all of a sudden, they thought that because he couldn't win that battle, that he must be a traitor to the cause. And the Jacobins and Marat wanted his head. And he was put on trial. He defended himself very, very well. And so he was absolved. He was exonerated. And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. Marat and the Jacobins attacked the judge for letting guilty people go. Right? This is the beginning of the terror. And this convinces Marat, or rather Miranda, this convinces Miranda that the whole thing is wrong. And he begins to contact with royalists. He begins to contact with people that are against the revolution and or want to bring sense to the revolution. In any case, people were talking about a coup d'état, right? Un golpe with, well, at this point they called him el Pruso, right? With the Prussian. He was from Caracas, but they're calling him the Prussian. This man is un chameleon, right? He's a chameleon. He has been Russian and now they call him the Prussian, but he's fighting in France. And, theoretically, he is still a member of the Spanish army. In any case, he decided that the prudent thing to do would be to leave. And his real goal was always the liberation of Venezuela. He went to England to try to convince them. And England thought that that might be the right moment. Except there was another faction who believed that the easiest thing would be go down to Argentina and first liberate Argentina rather than Venezuela. And this is the faction that won. They went down to Argentina and there was an attempt to liberate Argentina. But if the British had actually gone behind Miranda, well, who knows? Who knows what would have happened? England was disappointing. He went back to the United States. Now, the United States had that Neutrality Act still in force, and nothing official could be done. But Miranda had many friends. Many important and influential friends. And so why not? Why not a private group going down, financed by merchants, using mercenaries? Why not? There were plenty of ex-soldiers from the revolution who weren't doing much of anything. And this is what he tried to do. He got volunteers. While he was sailing down with these volunteers, he invented the Venezuelan flag. He was the first one to fly the Venezuelan flag on his ship going down to liberate Venezuela. All right, I've run out of time. Thank you for listening. I will continue this next Monday.